Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Pastor Chiso. I think this service just took a different turn this morning. I want us to pray. Thank you, Pastor Chiso, for that word. You know, the Bible says, he that stands should take heed lest he falls. So you could be thinking this morning, this is not about me. And looking around and, you know, just looking at who is being, you know, called out. But the Lord is saying in Revelation, he says the fearful were born in the lake of fire. That's to fear is to go to hell. Just that you are afraid. So this morning, let's just open our heart and let's just begin to pray this morning. Father, for that which you call me to turn aside, for that which you call me to repent, I surrender all. Bible said a man's way is right in his own eyes, but Father, I come as one submitted to the fold. I return back to your sheepfold like a shield, submitted, yielded, and surrendered completely to you. Blot out my iniquity. Bible said, let's reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, say, I will make them whiter than snow. Oh, Father, thank you. Because it is for your love you have called me back. You are an intentional shepherd. You are the shepherd of my soul. And Lord, you will not watch me go astray. So therefore, you lead me with your rod of correction. Blot away sin from us. Blot away sin from the midst of us. Lord, lead us in paths of your righteousness. Your leading has a mark. It is to the end that we are brought, hallelujah, to the glory of the one who has called us. The Bible says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His path has a stamp of righteousness. Therefore, when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I know it is not your path. Therefore, you lead me with your rod and correction. Lord, you lead me. Lord, I return to the fold. I'm intentional about returning. I turn aside. You're not praying, church. I turn aside. Whatever it is you're calling me to turn aside from. Whatever it is you're calling me, Lord, to turn aside from. I turn aside this morning and I return again back to the fold in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Thank you. We can have our seats. I'm reading this text from Matthew 6:25-34. I'm reading from the Message translation. Hallelujah. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than, I'm reading from a different translation. Okay. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuse about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes is in your closet or are in fashion. There is far more to life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered. Not tied unto a job description, careless in the care of God, and you can't far more to him than the birds. Has anyone by fusing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes sense that much difference? Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the white flowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. You see, if God gives such attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never ever seen, never even seen, don't you think he will attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuse over the things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality. Steep your life in God initiative and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Hallelujah. So today's sermon is dealing with worries and complaints by the Spirit of God. So really, today's service has just taken a different tone from the prayers in the morning, the songs, the testimony, then Sister Hope coming up to pray, and you know, she just got called to pray. So, and then Pastor Chisholm stepping up, and God is saying in all of this, do not worry for your life. He said the 10 best men and women look shabby along the white flowers. And you know, it's instructive to know that before there was deep ocean diving, before men could go to the undersea, generations have come and gone and nobody saw the amazing life in the sea. Who did God make them for? For his pleasure and for his glory. Never, of course, he knew one day man is going to come into that reality. But when generations before us did not see it, it didn't matter to God. He is an excellent God. He is a God who is able to take care of your everyday need. I say this, and I believe it with all my heart, that you can be thrust in the desert with no means of survival, and you can hang on the word of God, and you will be established. You will make that barren line flourish, because that is the possibility of the God we have come to know, the one who fathers us. So this morning he's saying, steep your life in God's reality. Get to know about how he works, how he takes care of his own. So Miss Soap was reading this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I have no want. It's not a Bible verse where or in what I'm preaching, but then, you know, and God is saying, what is that want? He said, I have met every of your need. You see, in life, the reality about life is that whether you are rich, poor, middle class, you have needs. You will worry. Worry will come knocking at your door. So for the poor, in this that we read, it says, take no worries, you know, for what you will eat, drink, and what you would wear. And you can be sitting here and say, that's not my problem. I have food, I have shelter, I have water, and I have what to clothe myself in. There are people who don't. But I'm sure in TCC, we all do. So we're wondering if this is all I have. I have better things to worry about. But I'm saying, no matter what the worry is, if the worry is for a job, if the worry is for a spouse, if the worry is for a child, if the worry is for growth, whatever the worry is, God has got you covered. Hallelujah. So Abraham Maslow has this pyramid, this hierarchy of needs. And in that hierarchy of needs, it's, you know, you can see at the lower rung, the poor, you know, what they care about is survival. They want to just survive. They want what to eat, shelter, and what to drink and clothe themselves with. And then it comes to the middle class. Now they have a job, but they are seeking fulfillment. They are seeking security. I no longer want to live in Winnie Two. I want to live in GRA. Because when I drive in with my Porsche car to Winnie Two, a lot of eyes look at me. So the middle class tends to seek, you know, how to be secure, because some money is coming in. And for the rich, the uber rich, they begin to seek a legacy. And Solomon, speaking by the Spirit, said, a man would go ahead and make all this money, and when he dies. So the poor, the rich worry about that. What will happen to my life when I'm no longer here? What will happen to the amount of wealth I have made? So you see a lot of philanthropists. The reason they go into philanthropy is that they can cement their life and their name and purpose so that they would have left a legacy. Because they don't know, according to Solomon, the child who will come and lay hand on that wealth and squander it. And then the name of the person will be forgotten. So whether you are rich, whatever the class you fall in life, worry will come knocking. But there is an anchor for a soul. And God is the anchor for that. Hallelujah. I was listening to Pastor Kojo this morning, and coincidentally, he was talking along this line. I think it's a series, you know, you should listen to, the Miranda Law, you know, Miranda Rights. So when there's a felon, whatever it is, and the police comes, they say you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can and will be used against you in the court of law, and you have a right to an attorney. And in all of this thing is captured in scripture. You have a right to remain silent when the enemy comes knocking. When worry comes, when complaint comes, you have a right to remain. You have that right. You know, the Americans will say, I plead the Fifth Amendment. When you say to them, but no, tell me who you say you saw, you say, I plead the Fifth Amendment. They don't want to talk. And the law gives them the right to be quiet. I have a right to an attorney. You have a right to the Holy Spirit. And it's with the Holy Spirit today, God is going to break through the barriers of worry. There will be impartation in this morning. And Lord is saying to you, whatever worry you have come here with, whatever complaint you have nagging at your door, this morning by the instrument and the vehicle of the Word of God, you will go back rejoicing. You will go back telling it to the mountain that the one who called me in time is able to keep me. And he's doing that work in me. Hallelujah. So we're just going to go into it. You know, dealing with worry about the spirit. And the first will be discern the times and the season. When you're not discerning of the time and the season you are, you will worry. So imagine my daughter Chizaram, who just finished WAEC and starts worrying about her life partner. She is totally out of line, and I don't even need to say that. Time will come to tell her she's out of line. So some of those things, I may not need to see a therapist, I may not even need to flog, I may not need to worry. In the process of time, she will realize, why did I worry? So there are things that the process of time would, as of a necessity, throw out of your life. So I've been listening to Pastor Banky in 10 minutes, Pastor Banky in 10, right? I think that's what it's called. And he was talking about one of this series, dealing with worry. And he said, time is a processing machine. There are some complaints in your life that if you allow time, if you have told someone before time prevailed, you will be ashamed. But if you just allow time, that worry will be thrown out of your life. Hallelujah. So when we are not discerning of a season, we worry. So Psalm 90, David says, saying to the sons of Korah, he said, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of understanding. If you're able to number your days, that there is a day in my life and this is it. So I have children and I have begun to separate by age, by school, by class. And that's the day I am in. And it's just the day. If I'm not discerning of this season, and I put ahead of this season my acquisition materially, I would have been wrong and not discerning. And not that I can't have both, but you have to be discerning of what season the Lord is calling your attention to. And I see what happens to believers is that we acquire the taste of the word. And when we acquire taste, we began to forget what seasons we are in. We begin to compare ourselves one to another. And the Bible says we are foolish. So I'm looking at Pastor Chisholm, whose kids are small. And then she's gallivanting all over the world. And I'm wondering why my life is not so beautiful. I begin to look at mommy whose kids have left the nest. She's just enjoying her life. And I begin to live in the future. Why isn't my life like that? I do not discern my own season. The Bible spoke of the sons of Issachar that there were men who understood the times and the season they were in. They knew exactly what Israel was supposed to do. And the Bible said the Israelites, their brethren gathered to them. When you have an understanding of the season, you will know what to do. Wisdom will be made available to you. So teach me to number my days, that I may gain a heart of understanding, a heart of wisdom. Hallelujah. So in Isaiah 21, verses 11 to 12, a prophecy about Edom, and then the watchman says, the morning comes, it said the oracle, I'm reading from the Amplified, the oracle, a bothersome message concerning Edom. One keeps calling to me from Seir, watchman, what is left of the night? Watchman, what is left of the night? The watchman says, the morning comes, but only briefly, but also comes the night again. If you would ask of me then, ask again, come back again. Hallelujah. The cry from Seir, the cry from Edom, it could be the same cry in your heart. When will this season be over? When will this season come to an end? And you're asking such question. But if you're not discerning and not asking the Spirit, you'll be asking people around you wrongly. The watchman says to this one who calls, he said, the night will come to an end. And scripture is replete of this story that it came to pass. So he says the night will surely come to an end. He said, but the morning comes only shortly. And that's the life of the human race. That after one season is on the heel of another season. On the heel of one season as it's exiting, another season enters. There's really no rest for man. And not in a sense that rest is trouble. It's that God in Christ Jesus gave us good work to do. So for every season of our life, there's good work for you to do. You only have to be discerning of what that season is by the power of the Spirit. Anchoring on the stamina of the Spirit, you can go through every season by the agency of the Spirit. So here the watchman says, the season may be uncertain. How long will I tarry in this situation? How long will my worry take? How long will I keep complaining? And then the Holy Ghost says to him, blankly, he said, the night will fade away, but the morning comes only shortly. You can't rest through all of life. God is saying to us as believers, there is good work in our lifetime. And last night, as I was reading the scripture I shared on the family page this morning while we prayed, it was from Isaiah 55. He said, no word of the Lord that goeth forth from my mouth shall return back to me void. And in that instance, I knew that that word crystallized into flesh and it became me. And therefore, it says that I will accomplish wheresoever I am sent because I'm the word of God. I prevail in time. So it says to me, the night will surely pass, but the morning comes only briefly. There is work in me, in my time, in my lifetime for me to do. Why? I have been sent by God into time to create, to birth, to subdue the cosmos. So for every time I live in earth, God is desirous that I'm working to expand the frontiers of the kingdom of God. I am working to raise a godly generation after me. I am working to plant the seed of righteousness in my environment. So there is really no rest for the believer in the sense that you seek to worry about the mundanes of life. The reason God has called us is that the things the world did not know about him, through us he will make them manifest. It's not for the things we worry about. So this passage in Matthew is saying we worry about that which is earthly. We worry about that which is predictable. We worry about that which is fleshly. That which only satisfies the flesh with no eternal gratification in view. That is what we worry about. We worry about the food that becomes pulp in our tummy. We worry about the drink we soon pee out. We worry about the clothes that will go out of fashion soon. And it says, not even Solomon in all of his gallantry was dressed like the wild flowers which the Lord made for beauty and for glory for himself. He said, today you go out, you clear them and you throw them away. In the morning they spring up and in the afternoon they wither. Yet the Lord clothes them. He has not said, because every time we kill them, they will keep looking bland. No. He still clothed them in the arrays of color. Hallelujah. So God is saying to us that the worry, whatever it is, may linger. And I'm going to touch some salient points. When Mrs. Hope was praying, she said it could be a marriage situation, you know. So I just want to take it from that. It could be a childbirth issue. It could be that I'm ripe for the season. I'm not married. I've been married for a while. I don't have children. I have done all I know to do in my business. Nothing is happening. There's no breaking through. But God is saying, there is an anchor for our soul. There is an anchor for the soul. There is an anchor for your soul. So point two is that you go from meditation to prophesying. You go from musing and speaking faith. God is calling us as a people after discerning our season, that we are not just hearers of the word of God. We don't just come every Sunday. Esther was saying, we don't come on Wednesdays to hear the word of God. And beyond not coming on Wednesday, how much time do we take in our personal life with the word of God? You know, God is saying we have to step out of just coming in contact with the word, romanticizing the word. We have to step in into doing. And in doing, we have to speak faith. So we understand, hallelujah, that by faith, everything the Bible says that was made by the word of God. That when God created in Genesis, the Spirit of God brooded, immersed over the system, over the decay, the depth, and the darkness within the deep. The Spirit of God hovered around this. And when God spoke, there was a repository of a faith, a buildup of faith, as the account of the decay was being taken by the Spirit. So someone here, you're saying it has tarried for too long. I don't have a child and it's 5 years. I don't have a child and it's 10 years. I don't have a child, it's 1 year. But the Spirit, take account of the deep. And when I say take account of the deep, go into the word of God. Move beyond just looking at the letter and begin to call forth the things that be not as though they were. Step into creatorship with God, because God is calling us to be a people who can speak the things which be not as though. Hallelujah. So God is saying to us this morning, we have to go from the musing. Meditating upon the word of God is good. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. I will meditate upon it day and night. It is my season. I have entered into the season to get married. But it does look like there's no spouse around. I have finished school. I have graduated. And now it looks like I'm tarrying. And it's become the complaint of every Nigerian. There's no job out there. The Bible says you can create. Step into creationship. Step into the ability of the Spirit and create, make possible the things that are not in this time, in the name of Jesus, by the entrance of the word of God. And the Bible says, hallelujah, concerning the one, it says, a good man from the deposits within his heart bring forth good. So the nature of the man is that he's good, but he's careful to make deposits within his nature. So they are good men who have not deposited anything about the word of God in their hearts. So when they stand beside David and they are downcast like they were when they came back from a battle, and the men, the children, their wives, and all that they have been carted away, they sought to kill David. But David is a man who has accustomed himself to God. He went and he sought after the Lord. Hallelujah. So in Psalm 42, he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? He did not choose to sit with the people who were complaining. Will we kill you today? He found strength in God. He spoke. He said, will we go after them? And by God will we overtake. And by without fail we will recover all. So God is saying to us, we'll be a people who step out of meditation. We prophesy. Prophesy to that mountain. If you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It is good I was said to cast into the sea, because the sea has the propensity to swallow and clean mouth. You wouldn't even know that a mountain has fallen into the sea. So the Bible says, if you would say to this mountain, whatever the mountain that causes you to worry is, by the Spirit, take account of the depth. Take account of the deep. Take account of the doctor's report. Take account of the situation. Say, factually, in Nigeria, there's no more job. Yes, factually, in Enugu, it is worse still. That those in Lagos have not found work yet, let alone the people in Enugu. Say, yes, it is the fact, but a generation has risen that will not only make it a land of stream. We will not only make it a land flowing with milk and honey. We are those who will go through Baka. We are those who will go through the joblessness. We are those who will go through this trying time. But when we come on the other side, we'll make it a spring of life. When we come on the other side, many who come after us will come into an oasis. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, God is saying to us, do not worry. Take no care for your life. I am He, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who circles the earth. I give strength to them that are weak. I infuse strength to them who have gone weary, like an infusion medicine. I run strength to the one who says he is weary. Kana mata branda gima sote ke bashanda nagabadaha. Hallelujah. 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 So continually make deposits within your heart. You will answer the worries of your life by the repository of the word of God you have imbibed. If you're not careful to constantly deposit the word of God in your life, when situation comes, you will falter. So when the devil came to tempt Jesus, the Bible said he answered him by the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Even though that was not all the temptation Jesus went through, it was shown as an example how he answered all of the temptation. It is written. Are you consciously taking in the word of God, depositing it in the bank of your heart? The Bible said, guard your heart with diligence. Out of it flows the issues that control your life. You must guard your heart with diligence. Some of us will have become customers to trauma. So we elevate the things the system say to us above the word of God. So the doctor's report comes and it says this. And every day we look upon that report. But we have a tribesman in Hezekiah. When the report came, he took it to the Lord. Let's read it together. He took it to the temple of the Lord and he presented it before God. So this is what they are saying about your people. He subjected the word of the Assyrians. He took it captive under Christ. So no matter what it is that you have as a report, no matter how factual, how fearful the statistics looks, God is saying that when you come together and we reason, that there is nothing in all of this world that can overtake the child of God. Hallelujah. Number three is the Spirit fills you with God's perspective. To deal with worries by the Spirit, you have to allow the Spirit to fill you with God's perspective. You have mused on the word. You have prophesied the word. You have spoken in faith. But would you allow the Spirit to give you a perspective? Because what happens most often than not is that when you have spoken for 3 months, spoken for 1 year, spoken for 2 years, you feel the word is not working. You feel heaven help those who help themselves. You feel there is something you can add to God because you have stayed. But let me tell you, because Pastor Banky said, time is a processing machine. God is taking you through a process. And it was from him I once heard that for the man Jacob, was it necessary for him to go through Laban and through all the affliction he went through for Israel as a nation to be bettered? Was it necessary? The answer is no. It was not necessary that the father of Israel had to go through all that he went through for Israel to be bettered. Because scripture tells us, have you seen a nation bettered in one day? And God says, yes, a nation can be bettered in one day. He said, but for the man Jacob, it was necessary that the man who is called a supplanter come to know that he bears the seed of God. So it took him through Laban's house, through all of those deceits, to know that he was called to better nation. Maybe we don't get this point. Was it necessary for Abraham to go through 25 years before he received Isaac? For the call of Isaac, who God would have given when he gave Ishmael. I mean, at that same time, Sarah could have conceived and had Isaac. But for the man Abraham, it was necessary. So we see in Romans 4:10 that when Abraham saw what God was doing, so all the while the prophecy of the Lord had come to Abraham, he did not know what God was doing. He only knew he was going to be a father of many nations. He only knew that it was not in Ishmael that his seed would come. That was all he knew. He knew everything he knew was in the natural. But in Romans 8, we hear when the trajectory of his life changed was when he saw his eyes were open to what God was doing. And that was 25 years. So the season of your life can be tiring and you're wondering why. And God is saying, you have not stepped into what I am doing. And God is waiting on you while you think you're waiting on God. Step into what God is doing. So we see in Numbers 11 that the children of Israel, that they complained, they murmured against God. Why? They have acquired a taste in Egypt. It wasn't the taste Joseph had gone into Egypt with. Joseph went into Egypt as a faithful man, went into Egypt as a prosperous man because he refused to complain while in Egypt, while in slavery, while in prison. We did not hear complain. And that was their father. That was the lineage. That was the stock of whom God had called the same people from. It was from the same stock. It was from the same generation. But they have become some complainers of some sort because in Egypt, they have acquired the taste of slavery. They have acquired the taste of garlic, of leek, onions, and of cucumbers. They have acquired tastes that were inordinate to the desires of the one who was leading them to worship. So when they came out, the food manna represented a taste-killing food. It was a food God has sent from heaven to reconstruct this nation. It was going to take the mentality and the mentality of slavery out of to be a prosperous people, a people who would take and subdue nations. But they were holding on to the acquired taste of Egypt. So when manna came, they said, "What is this?" And they said, "What is this?" Because as they began to eat manna, they began to forget their line of Egypt. They began to forget the taste of Egypt, but they were holding on to that taste. The familiar, most times, the comfort zone, most times, looks like a place where we should stay. So you are scared of growth because you don't know what will happen. So you beckon to the familiar. You beckon to the predictable. So they were being predictable when they wanted garlic and onions. But there was a food right in front of them that had the propensity to cure them of that desire, of that taste, and make them champions, and make them ones who can stand before giants. And mind you, in the same wilderness, it was said in the Psalms that when the children of Israel, when they passed in the wilderness, it said the mountains and the trees arranged themselves. So they saw physically with their naked eyes that as they passed through this path and there was a mountain ahead of them, before they got there, the mountain had moved. When food was brought to them, they doubted the same one who was able to arrange mountains and trees in their path that they may walk free. The one who led them through the Red Sea as though on a dry ground. The one who came to Egypt and judged with 10 plagues every god in Egypt. They had seen, they had experienced. But when they came in contact with that food that is able to quench your lust, with that food that is able to quench your inordinate desire, with that food that is able to quench the desire for the pleasures of the world. So speaking about Moses, who had a taste of grandeur in the palace of Pharaoh, the Bible said when it came to his time that he did not consider the pleasures of Egypt as one to hold on to, but he reckoned salvation with the people of God. So Moses was one of the ones who ate the food of giants, who ate manna, because he wanted God to cure him of that which he has acquired in Egypt, of the glory and the splendor of Egypt. So before time, he went ahead of God. And when God drove him to Midian, we thought he was scared of Pharaoh. That was why he ran. But we came to Hebrews and we understood that he considered the affliction with the people of God as a better glory than the lust of Egypt, than all the pleasures of sin. Are you able to give up the pleasure of sin for where God is calling you? To see by the Spirit that the one who leads you is able. You can never be wiser than God. The Bible said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisest of men. So when it seems like God is leading you and it looks foolish, trust me, let the best eye stands, let the best scientists gather. They cannot out wisdom the wisdom of God. So if God says your path is through the valley, dance while you are through the valley. If God says your path is through the wilderness, clap your hands while you go through the wilderness, because you can never outsmart the wisdom of God. Oh, put your eyes on God's perspective. It was here Pastor Faye said, eternity, we judge God too soon. I think we said it in one of our sermons, we judge God too soon. That 100 years is too small. A lifetime is too small to judge the faithfulness of God. It's the one will serve him and it will count for a generation. Stand up and be counted. Count yourself as one who will serve God in your generation and let it count for the generations that come after you. See through God's perspective by the lens of the Spirit of God. And God is saying the term worry, I began to look at the root word of the word term worry. He says a one of a divided heart. And I think it was James speaking, he's saying when you waver, he said, don't think that you will get anything from the hands of God. God is calling us to a single eye. To a single eye. To a single eye. Have a single eye. Have a single eye. You may think this worry persists. You may think this affliction persists. But have a single eye. Focus on the spirit. See the perspective of heaven concerning that. In the name of Jesus. So the journey that was supposed to take the Israelite 40 days. Took them 40 years. For every year they lacked discernment. For every day they lacked discernment. A year was given for the learning. 40 days and 40 years. You don't want to go through this worry longer than your season allows. Than your season for which it has been written for allows. Don't go through this process longer than God has made for you, but it's your choice. Every day, the children of Israel did not design their times. They paid for it with a year. And a year is how many days? 365 days. They paid with 364 extra days. That math is not mathing at all. If you ever punished any children in the flesh like that, they will loot you as a mother or a father. I think everybody will say that's too high-handed of a hand, right? But God is saying it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. When Moses asked, who will I tell them sent me? He said, tell them the I am that I am. I am that I am. That for every door they come to, if they descend my name, that door will open of his own accord. But they refuse to descend the name of God. God is saying to us, don't be this people. Don't tarry in your season. Don't tarry in this wait. Don't tarry in this place. Don't continue to enjoy the acquired taste of sin, the acquired taste of the pleasures of the world, the acquired taste of the generations around you. Don't be that person. You can turn aside, you can turn around, you can repent, and you can come to God and see by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, you must miss this faith. You know, we have prophesied by faith. But you must miss this faith with the word. By faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, we understand that the times and the season, the epochs, everything we see in the cosmos was brought into context, came into aggregation by the word of God. That everything you see in time was framed, was captured by the word of God. So there's nothing around you, there's nothing you see that wasn't bettered by the word of God. You know, they can lead, there is a technology now that allows you to listen to plants and you hear them sing. Plants are always singing. I think it's viral on TikTok. I don't know if anybody, nobody has seen it. Okay, so there's this technology you just put to the branch of planting and you can hear them sing. Even that, which man did not know existed, was brought into frame by the word of God. God did it for his excellence and his pleasure. He didn't know. He knew. I didn't know plants could sing. I've not heard them sing. But one day, that technology will be as common, like we're using phones now. Before, these things were distant things, but you and I are sharing in them. All of these things were brought into focus by the word of God. So he says you must miss your faith with the word of God. So in Bible class, we're teaching, I think one of the last class we did, and then the man of God began to talk about Jairus, and I began to journey in that word. And Jairus came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, come lay hand on my daughter. She's about 12, right? Yeah, come lay hands on my daughter. And this happens to us too often. And as they were going, unknown to Jairus, that life has a way of lifing. This woman in her own place has said to herself, if I may touch the hem of his garments. So she waded through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and then power left Jesus. So Jesus said, power, someone touched me. Power has gone. If you were Jairus, what would you think? Oh my God, oh, time is passing. Hey, worry. What? And of course, Jairus started to worry, because as all this were happening, that was the time someone came to say, the daughter has died. Don't bother the master again. And then Jesus said to him, he said, what? Only believe.
Jesus did not say it was the man of God who made me see that point. Jesus did not say to him, only believe that I can. You see the way this power just left through me. Believe that me will live. No, Jesus said, you had a call in your heart. This woman's own was different. She said, when I touched the hem of your garment, it was the power from my garment that touched her. There is power in my hand. You say, if I will lay my hand on your daughter. You say, only believe that which you have said. What the woman got was what she asked for. And I said to her, your faith made you whole. But believe that if I touch your daughter, no matter what is wrong, she will come back to life. And then he calmed the storms in Jairus' heart. So someone, God is saying to you that you may have stayed too long in this place. You may have called on the name of the Lord like Psalm 91. He said, concerning the one who has known his name, say, I will deliver. He said, because you have known my name, because you have made even the Most High your habitation. Say, no evil will come near you. No plague will come near your dwelling. But because it looks like the worry still assails, you look and you say, no, God, you cannot be trusted. He said, only believe that the process with which you say it would be done to you, if you say, I will go to the doctors and it will be done for me, only believe. Shakala patakata. And Jesus said to Jairus, only believe. And then they got to Jairus' house, and there were mockers all around. And he said to them, throw them out, because Jairus had been barraged by every event that has happened on the way. Jairus was battling with the worry in his heart that the woman had drawn virtue from Jesus. Jairus came, the servant had come to tell him, don't worry the master. They confirmed that she's dead. He was worrying with all of that. He got home and there were people mocking and said to Jesus, they were crying that the girl was dead. Then the moment Jesus said, no, she lives, they started laughing. And among them may be the people in the community who were master death certificate issuing experts. So Jairus looks at those people and says, master, are you sure? This man, everyone he has issued a certificate for, never came back. Hey, anytime this man, you see him where someone is dead, the person is dead. So Jairus had all this to deal with. And Jesus said to the child, Jesus did not go too far. Talita kumi. He took his hand and placed it on the hand of the child. And the child rose up. Who is in this place and there is a worry in your life? And you have looked at that worry for too long and you say, give way. But because you believe that through the instrument of Jesus laying his hand on me, this worry will be taken away. This affliction will go. This money will come. But now you begin to doubt because people have come to you and said the inflation rate by CBN just went up. And you are saying, I can't accomplish this project. And you are saying, this cannot be done because the inflation rate just went up again. Because Nigeria just fell down again. Dollar just rose up again. Hanaba. Hey, who is here saying that when I went again to the doctor, he found another symptom. He found another complication. I thought I was getting closer. But they found, and God is saying this morning by the Spirit, only believe. Mix your faith with the word. The word says, master, come to my house. Lay your hand on my daughter. I don't know what you are saying, but whatever it is you're saying, rise up and say, Father, this is what I believe. Step into my life. Do that which you say you will do. Step into my life. Change that which you say you will change. Step into my life. St- stand that which is saying, I step into the faith of Jairus, and I receive beyond the noise, beyond the mockers, beyond the onlookers. I step into faith, and I declare your word. That no one will be barren in my lineage. I declare your word that no seed of mine will not serve Jesus. I declare by your word that TCC you grow. TCC you grow. Do not look at the empty chairs. Our sons and our daughters, they are carried upon heaps and they are carried upon shoulders and they are brought to us. Don't panic. Believe. 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 And the last point says, joy is your immunity. Joy is your immunity. Joy is my immunity. Thanksgiving, my atmosphere of abundance. Thanksgiving, my atmosphere of abundance. Joy is my immunity. Joy is my immunity. Joy is my immunity. I rejoice at your word as one who has found great spoil. I rejoice at your word as one who found great spoil. I rejoice at your word. Every door of opposition, it opens unto me. Every door of opposition, it opens unto me. Every gate that has refused to bow down, bows down. Only by the word of God, in the name of Jesus. Joy is my immunity. Hallelujah. Take your seat, brethren. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. It's saying all things were prayer, thanksgiving, and supplication. Make your request known to the Lord. Hey! And he has peace that garrisons the heart. He has peace that garrisons the heart. He has peace like a defense. He has peace that is able to preserve you. He said he will give you that peace. He will give you that peace. Hey, he will give you that peace. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You are strong because of the joy of the Lord. And with that joy, someone draws from the well that is your salvation. With that joy, someone draws from the well that is your salvation. Ah, don't look too sad. Don't say you don't know what I'm going through. Don't frown your face. Don't sit in service and say they have come again. They just want to just be jumping up and down. Ah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I would rather the joy of the Lord than to dwell in the issues the devil tends to project. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving expands your space. It expands your capacity to receive. Come into the atmosphere of thanksgiving. So this scripture, I want to go and read the scripture. Hallelujah. It's from Romans 8, I think 32. Project it. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 32. Glory to God. Ha! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 32. Glory to God. I'll branding up here. Ha! He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Peter, speaking in the book of Peter, says, all things things that pertains to life and godliness. That is what he has given you by his divine nature. If he did not spare his son, somebody ought to be doing a wiggle. Huh? If he did not spare his son, if he did not spare his son, glory to God. Huh? If he did not spare his son, how would he not together with the son he did not spare give me all things that pertains to life? Give me all things that pertains to godliness. What is it you seek? What is that that causes you worry? Pertains to this life. I don't think anybody's worrying about eternity. Who is worrying about their seat in heaven? Who is worrying about their mansion in heaven? Everything you worry about pertains to life. And the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, he slayed his son. He did not slay his son because he came on the scene. And then he's looking at your worries and say, Jesus, this is too much for me. Let me quickly slay my son. No, he slayed his son before you ever got birthed. And scripture tells me, hallelujah, that when my substance was unformed, he knew me. He knew me. When I had not been clothed in body, he knew me. And then when he clothed me, he had slain his son. And he says, everything I need in life that pertains to life and godliness, he has given in his son. I receive all things. I receive all things. I receive all things. I receive all things. Take a hold of a brethren. Take a hold of a brethren. Like the Holy Spirit. Take a hold of one person near you. Take a hold of one person near you and begin to declare, hey, na papa so take a all that pertains to life and godliness. There is impartation flowing in this house this morning. If there is any void in your life with which you worry about, that the devil has come to assail you, as your sister, your brother holds you, receive the flow. Receive the flow from the body. Descend the body and receive the flow. We break the hold of barrenness. We break the hold of poverty. We break the hold of sickness. We break the hold of lack. We break the hold. Every opposition to the people of God will break that hold. Will break that hold. Will break that hold. Step into freedom. Step into freedom. Step into freedom by the power of the Holy Ghost. Step into freedom by the power of the Holy Ghost. Will break that hold. Egati marokapa me shanganda rakabato seke barakapa ekamando rabraki kapa ah shabaha. I surrender my worries. I surrender my pains. I surrender my complaints. I surrender. Egede gedeke peke rota mako sabara. Ah shikataka lebrataka pa. Ego to nama sombranti ma shalagadam baragabaha. Karadene mako pasote ke. Ah, para baba baba dandana mana suntanaha. He did not spare his son. He did not spare his son. He will together with the son give me all things. He will give me that which I desire, that which I need for my season. He will give me the bramba. He will give me the desires of my heart in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we exalt you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God, It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.